Invite you to remain standing for a moment longer as we read this morning's gospel. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 10 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David! My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So as we usually do here, the children's message kind of is built upon the preaching text of the day. And so Ricky alluded with the children that a lot of the teachings that we have, the stories that we see and hear in the Bible, many of them are challenging for us. We don't understand them. We don't comprehend them. And even the disciples, those who lived and walked, those who were serving, witnessing Jesus and the miracles he performed, the teaching, even they struggled with some of the understandings of what was going on in their midst. Today's story follows some other very powerful stories that we are familiar with in the Bible. I think the one that we heard today that I just read to you is not so common because it leaves us quite a bit uneasy for a couple of reasons, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But this passage of Scripture today comes on the heels of some of the other stories where Jesus was trying to teach the disciples and the audience about what the kingdom of heaven was to look like, and he used that metaphor of yeast. And we've just recently heard and celebrated in the text of the miracle feeding of the 5,000 people. Last week we saw the great miracle of Jesus walking on the water in the middle of the storm and calming the storm, and the disciples confessing who Jesus is as they witnessed him calming the storm. What we didn't hear in between all of those stories in the passage I read to you today was the Pharisees and the scribes actually coming to Jesus and challenging Jesus on this tradition of his disciples not washing their hands, not undergoing this ritual of hand washing before they ate meals. And this was apparently troubling to those Pharisees and scribes, so much so that they had come to confront Jesus, the leader of these disciples. And so Jesus was challenging the Pharisees and the scribes about their tradition of this oral teaching that they had had about the necessity of hand washing to be a clean person. And so Jesus was trying to clear up with them that it is not it is not defiling to eat something after failing to wash one's hands. It's more what comes out of the heart And so the disciples were troubled. You heard Peter in today's passage that I read to you just say, Jesus, tell us again what you mean about this particular teaching. And this seems to be one of the common things that we see the disciples doing. They hear Jesus using these stories as a way to bring home his point. And in private, they go to him and they ask for clarification and what is really meant when he says these things. And so Jesus was trying to be clear with them. And I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on that particular passage of Scripture. I want to get to the second part of the story where this Canaanite woman comes for mercy to Jesus. Because that is where I think most of us heard the troubling kinds of things that were going on that Jesus alluded to having been a part of. So when that passage of Scripture sets out, Jesus has been in a very familiar place with familiar people. He may not enjoy spending quite a bit of time with the Pharisees and the scribes. After all, they're challenging to him. They try to catch him and trip him up. They try to get things that they can use against him. And while he was sent to change their hearts as well, that kind of exchange that Jesus had with them was familiar, as was life with the disciples, even when they questioned him. And so Jesus and the disciples traveling around the area of Galilee was familiar. And Jesus is looking for a change of scenery. And so he leaves to go to the district of Sidon and Tyre. Now, this is the area of Phoenicia. If you were a parent of the time, you would be telling your kids, don't you go to Tyre or Sidon. That is a place where people not like us live. You will be corrupted. Those people are undesirable. You just stay away from them. That's what you would say to your children if we lived back then. Stay away from Tyre and Sidon. It is socially unacceptable to go there. Well, that's exactly where Jesus decides to pack up the disciples and head to. He wants to go, apparently, to teach them something. So kind of keep that in mind about Jesus and his intentionality, especially when we weigh against what happens next. Because as he enters into this area, a Canaanite woman, now we can say the things that the Jews did not care for the Canaanites, that's part of why you wouldn't go to that area. And now not only do we have a Canaanite approaching Jesus and the disciples, but we have a woman. Remember back before women were acceptable in social circles, so we have a Canaanite woman coming to him. We don't know if she's a widow. We don't know if she's been divorced. But certainly she is so impassionate about seeking health for her daughter, health care for her daughter, you see, that she's willing to cross over these kinds of social barriers that are in place. She is the wrong religion. She is the wrong gender. And she has a special needs child. And so many of us go, oh, no. You know, we just, maybe this is kind of reflective is who a lot of us are in our society today. You know, we oftentimes say things that we don't always mean. And that's what I like about Jesus' teaching and then this next scene or act taking place. Jesus is talking initially in that passage I read to you about what comes out of our heart. That's what comes out of our mouth. So the things that we say are what defile us, Jesus says. And then he adds those other things that, malice and slander and murder and all those other things, theft, those also defile. But Jesus has been talking about what comes out of the heart through the mouth. And so here comes this Canaanite woman shouting. Have you ever been around somebody that's just so loud and obnoxious, you're just turned off automatically? This woman is shouting. She needs attention because probably even in her own area, in Phoenicia, in Sidon and Tyre, she is a problem person anyway. Again, she is a woman, and she's got a special needs daughter who happens, as the Scripture describes, to be possessed by a demon. At least that's what they thought at the time. Possibly seizures, epilepsy, something like that. But the words that they used, the diagnosis that would have been given to this child was that she was tormented by demons. And so she needs help for her daughter. And she's willing to do anything, including yelling at Jesus and his disciples, simply to get their attention. Well, more than just yelling, she confesses in Jewish terms who Jesus is. Lord, Son of David. So, we don't know how much she actually knew about Jesus, But we do know that she was so motivated to cross these boundaries of gender, of culture, of religion, to try to get the desperate healing that she wants for her child. I think special needs parents have a special place in God's heart. And maybe it is that passion of trying to ensure that their children are treated fairly and equally that is the most passionate thing about them. But this woman is willing to get health care. And we see that today, don't we? We see people in faraway places taking a chance, sending their children north, crossing through very dangerous places where violence today, where kidnapping and murder seems to be nothing to some of the cultures around us. They take a chance to send their children north for health care, for a chance at education, for a better life than they would get at home. And so often we're quick to judge those actions, to think, how could somebody do that? But you see, 2,000 years ago, people were asking how this Canaanite woman could do what she was doing. How could she do that? How could she cross those boundaries and ask for help? Well, Jesus doesn't directly call this Canaanite woman a dog. He might infer it. What I like to think about Jesus here is, and this is taken differently by different scholars, by different folks who read this. You may have heard this differently. Jesus, after the disciples try to have Jesus to quiet the woman, and he doesn't do that, the woman comes and kneels in front of Jesus. She's already confessed Jesus as being the Lord, Son of David. And so in that process, Jesus kind of becomes a little bit raw. Some of you who watch sports and maybe tolerate Dale Hansen when he goes unplugged, maybe this is Jesus going unplugged. Maybe he's kind of being the person that we want to be some days, where we just want to kind of think it's okay to lose our temper. So maybe it is Jesus losing his temper. Maybe it's Jesus having an emotional moment. But the way I see this story unfolding, I think Jesus is sensing a couple of opportunities to teach here. And while we don't have Jesus' facial expressions or the tone explained by Matthew in the telling of this story, I added my interpretation as to what was going on as I read it to you. I think Jesus is taking an opportunity to do a couple of things. To teach the woman who is in desperate need of healing, but also maybe to teach the disciples and anybody else that's listening. Because this woman challenges Jesus. She doesn't come and say, hey, I want to be a part of the Jewish kingdom. She doesn't come and say, hey, Jesus, let me sit at your table. She doesn't come and say, hey, Jesus, I'll go to your church if you'll heal my daughter. She's not asking for all of that. She's asking for something that you and I think is very basic: wholeness. The healing of her daughter who has struggled throughout her life, and this mother who is in desperate need of seeing her own child be made whole again. That's what she's willing to put on the table. And so in this teaching where Jesus infers that, you know, dogs aren't well liked, and that is another little sidelight I want to share with you. We don't have a lot of teaching in the Bible about the role of dogs. We do understand that in Jesus' day, very frequently stray or wild dogs would roam the streets and towns of the villages and cities. There is a reference in the book of Tobit about a household dog. So there was some dogs that were household pets. But oftentimes, when dog was used, it was a kind of a way of explaining somebody who was unfavorable, somebody who was not a part of the normal social mix. And so when Jesus says that about this feeding of the dogs, the woman kind of engages Jesus back. She doesn't just turn away in sorrow or in despair because her first request wasn't answered. She seems to be persistent, and she brings up the notion that even dogs get the crumbs under the table. So Jesus says, your faith, this is the awesome moment that I think he has taken out of his time to come to this area. He's left Galilee. He's come into this faraway place, the district of Tyre and Sidon. And I think he came to have this teaching moment that so many people kind of mistakenly accuse Jesus of being temperamental. And yeah, he might have got up on the wrong side of his mat that morning. His feet might have been tired. The air conditioning in the temple or the synagogue there may have been on the fritz. I don't know. But he certainly puts everything into perspective for us to say, God's realm, this experience of God, is for the undesirable of the world. That's where God's heart lies. It's in the midst of the crumbs where you and I can expect to find our God in God's most powerful ways, to reach out to the people who take that chance, to reach out to the people who are willing to consider what others say is a boundary. For people of faith to journey beyond that, to seek wholeness, to be a people of justice. There's a story I read this week about a couple back. This is in the housing crisis in about 2011 in Naples, Florida. This couple bought a house, and they paid $165,000 cash for this house in Naples, Florida. Now, understand the length of time it took then. I mean, the housing market was in upheaval. There was all these bad mortgages had been made, people struggling to pay back loans, defaulting, all that. This couple paid $165,000 for a house, cash. And in a couple of months, they get a foreclosure notice from Bank of America. This has gone through court. A court is foreclosing on this couple. We paid cash for that. There is no mortgage. We are the owners. Bank of America has no say in this house. And yet a court had ruled and was foreclosing on this couple's house. And so they ultimately took this whole case back to court, and the court ruled in favor of the couple, and then added a $2,500 court fee that Bank of America was to pay. And you know what? Bank of America never paid that $2,500. And so the couple went back to court and got a lien on Bank of America. This couple hired a moving company who showed up at a local branch in Naples, Florida of Bank of America, and the moving company began to go in and take chairs and computers and things out of Bank of America to the shock of the bank management. And they produced the court order. Well, you know, Bank of America immediately paid that couple their $2,500. It's wonderful when we hear stories like that where little people like you and I have a chance at equality and justice. Maybe that this little story of this Canaanite woman coming up to Jesus and his disciples, wanting just a moment of justice, just a moment of a chance at healing and wholeness, just a moment to consider a few crumbs for a faithful person and her daughter who was tormented. And the good news is Jesus healed that family. This woman who was willing to cross those boundaries to seek justice and healing and wholeness, her faith took her there, and Jesus praised her and pointed to her faith in the midst of what the rest of society was doing at that time. Back in the 1950s, there was an old black and white movie that Henry Fonda starred in, and it was 12 Angry Men. And if you remember that movie, these jurors were listening to a case. They went into deliberation. It was a death penalty case, and very quickly, 11 of the 12 jurors were ready to vote guilty and to convict this young man who had been accused of murder. And so Henry Fonda's character slowed the process down, and he explained to them that they owed it to this defendant, that they should hear the evidence that had been presented. And piece of evidence by piece of evidence they began to look at, and juror by juror began to see, as Henry Fonda had seen, that maybe there wasn't this beyond a shadow of a doubt that existed. And by the end of the movie portrayal, this man was found not guilty. They finally, all 12 of these jurors, finally decided that there was not sufficient evidence to condemn this young man to death. And so it's powerful when someone, even if it's one person, stands up in the face of evil or injustice. It's powerful when people in a community stand up against evil and injustice. It's powerful when you, in the face of popularity, in the workplace, in the classroom, around the water cooler, in the store, it's powerful when you stand up to your associates or even a stranger to say, I disagree with what you're saying. And that maybe you have been tuned in to the voice of evil. It's powerful when we reject those forces in the world that bring about hatred and separation and violence. It's powerful when a woman crosses a boundary, a gender boundary, a religious boundary, to seek the very thing that you and I agree to. We want health, and we want to be liked, and we want to be welcomed. And yet we have systems and places out in our world and our communities today that separate people from this true love that God has for them. I hope and I pray that today, as you come to the Lord's table, as you receive that gift that God has for you this day, that it will be meaningful to you to know that others before you have stood up to injustice, that others have stood up in their faith and have moved forward so that you and I could worship in a free place today, that you and I have the authority and the power that we can go out into the world and proclaim God's goodness and help those that are struggling feel God's love. And by God's power and presence, we can be a part of restoring them to the wholeness that God has envisioned for them. I hope and I pray that this gift of bread and the cup that you're offered today is just another powerful reminder of how God loves you. Because God did sacrifice His Son Jesus so that we would experience life in its fullest. That we would know that God loves us to the extreme because of His willingness, His extravagant love and the sharing of His Son. So I hope and I pray that you will embrace God's love this day and that you will be willing to share that in a world that is filled with news of hatred and violence, in a world that's news is filled with separation and exclusivity, that you will be a person who speaks up for God's inclusiveness. Let all people know that God loves them and that God has a place for them and that you're willing and welcoming to bring them to that love if need be. Share that with others this day and know that God loves you as God loves that Canaanite woman and all the others that we see in our biblical stories who are separated and held back from experience true life in God. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.